All right, can you all hear me okay? All right, let me know if you can hear me. For some reason, my screen is going blank over here. I don't know what the deal is. But I can see you guys that are on. I just don't understand why it's not coming up over here. But we'll see what happened here. Anyway, I got to grab a few things. I'll be right back here. We got a lot to do today. So I'm looking forward to it. But we'll see what's going on here. Good. I'm glad it's coming in loud and clear. I don't know what the deal is with this here. What I'm seeing my screen, but I just texted Luke to see if he could see anything that's wrong with it, but hopefully we'll figure it out here. What's going on? I just want to make sure I'm coming in good. Can you hear okay? Let's see. It's... Yeah, it says it's coming in. All right, I'll be back in just a minute here. Is it fading in and out? I can't hear it from my end, so I wouldn't know if it is. All right, good. So you're all getting it fine, it looks like. Huh. I wonder why that's doing that. Anyway, as long as I can see. Yeah, the chair was empty. All right. We'll get her straight here in a minute. I wasn't able to send that email out to everybody, so I hope everybody gets it. We've got 24 on now. We've got some time before we get going here. That music, good stuff. I thank God for it. But for some reason, this thing is loud. I don't know what the deal is with that, but that's okay. I'm just getting back into things here, so you'll have to give me some time to get back situated into things where I'm at. It's definitely a challenge for me here, being on the road for the week that I was on the road, and then getting back in here and everything like that. So I'm glad to be here. I just sent an email out to everybody inviting them to be here today, and hopefully they'll get it, and they'll be on with the link included there, and we look forward to that for sure. We'll see what happens with that. Yeah, that song was good, wasn't it? I had to interrupt you with my voice, but we're going to get started here in just a few minutes here, but I'll just kind of be doing a few things, and I just want to check in with you, let you know I'm still here. And just working on a few things to get started. I like to put this on a little bit ahead of time. That way I don't waste 15 minutes waiting for people to get on. So it gives you a chance to get on. But let's listen to this song here while we're doing that. My voice a lot quieter than it should be. I wonder if there's something set wrong with this. Can you all hear me okay now? Am I coming in loud and clear, or is it a little softer, or is it okay? Can you hear me loud? Let's see. Wonder why that. Logitech. Well, that one's to be muted. I'll see if I can get a hold of Luke and see if he can kind of tune in here to make sure. I want to make sure everything's right before we get started here, if I have to reset it. Okay. So the sound level's coming in fine. You can hear me okay. All right. We'll give a few minutes here to see if we get some more folks on, and then we'll we'll get going here. Okay, so you can hear okay. All right. Oh, the music's too loud. That might be my fault. I might have had it blasted up. I can turn that down a little bit. There we go. Well, I am back, and I hope you're all doing well. I hope you all had a busy and productive week, and everything like that. I know I did. I wonder if this affects anything if I unplug these headphones, because they're annoying me. Does that affect any sound at all for anything? Does that affect you guys at all? The music was blasting. I know it was loud on my headphones, too. I don't even know how it was. Jim's saying I'm blasting music. Does this affect anything? Is everything okay? I just unplugged these headphones because they're annoying me, man. And they're too loud. So whatever they're on, we'll get them fixed and everything like that. But I want to make sure everybody can hear me okay. And all right, good. Jody's on there. Jim Wilford can hear me all the way from deep in the heart of Texas. Yeah, you missed my last show. Well, go listen to that, man. I'll tell you what, that'll be crazy. We dealt with a lot of things that are going on right now in this crazy old world we're living in, and we dissected kind of the Pride event that took place and everything like that. So it really did show a lot of things and show you kind of what happens in real life there when you're out there preaching the gospel and everything. And I'll just give you kind of an update. Last week I was on a Baptist history tour of the South. And really of Iowa and Kansas and Missouri. So we had a good time there and enjoyed ourselves a lot and learned a lot about some God-fearing men and women that love the Lord that, you know, kind of gave their lives to settle this area. You know, they gave their lives to settle some Baptist churches in those areas and to preach the gospel to people that didn't have it, to Indians. We learned about Isaac McCoy, an amazing missionary, an amazing man that really saved the Indians' lives because the government was going to kill him, and he helped them get onto some reservations at least to preserve some of their life before they were going to be killed. And he actually preached the gospel to thousands of people out there and started, like, I don't know, 20 Baptist churches all across Indian reservations and everything like that. And preach the gospel to them, and many of them were saved. So we thank God for that, and what a blessing that was, and good time that we had there. And I hope that all of you were doing well, though. And, you know, we had a blessed time out on the tour, and Luke went with me, and my son went, and a few of the other men from church, and it actually motivated us. I'm a history buff anyway. I love history, and I love studying it, and I love teaching on it. And I'm going to be putting together, Brother Ryan and I are going to be putting together the Baptist history of Minnesota. And we're going to deal with a lot of the churches that were around here and kind of leave our record of what took place and have that there so people can study that historically speaking and understand how the gospel did move forward and how men hazarded their lives and women hazarded their lives here in the Midwest, in really savage territory, to plant churches and to spread the gospel. And I think it's important for people to understand the sacrifices that were made before us, that there were men and women that gave their lives to see the gospel preached in this area and all over Minnesota and all over the Midwest. So we're gonna do what we can to kind of help people understand that. So Friday, I will not be doing a broadcast. My wife and I will be taking off, and we're going to be going about an hour and a half from here. And we're going to be going to one of the first Baptist churches that was started in Minnesota. And we're going to actually, a lady has a whole suitcase full of information that she would like to actually show me about the man that started the church there. He started the first Baptist church in Northfield, Minnesota as well here. And he actually, there's a marker out here for this man because he was the first to preach the gospel in this area and hold a religious service in Northfield. So we're pretty excited about that. It's the same man. I'm going to kind of research some of his life and what he did, you know, and how the Lord blessed in all those ways. So we're excited about that. And I'll be teaching on that here in the future and look forward to doing that. So anyway, that's what we were up to. And we went to a lot of fun places. We actually got to visit the Kansas Historical Museum in Topeka, Kansas, and really got to go visit the first outpost that was built there. It was a missionary house that was built there, and it housed 100 Indians or more, and it taught those little Indian boys and girls how to cook, how to clean, how to take care of things, preach the gospel to them. They were saved. They were converted. They learned to read and to write and do all those things. So what an amazing, amazing history that was there, and how much fun we had doing that, and what a blessing it was. And it really shows us that we have it too easy in this life, and we ought to thank God for all the benefits that we have, and we ought to use it all for His glory and honor. Amen? And we look forward to that. And I did have a good time and enjoyed myself a lot there. And really got to gather some resources and some good things for the future. So I'm looking forward to doing all that. But today, we got a lot to talk about. Pastor Hoggard, he did a video recently about the Giants. And his video, I haven't watched it yet, but his video is 3 hours long, To Those Who Do Not Believe. And I thought it was very interesting, the title that he used and everything. But it's kind of funny how the Lord allows us to be on the same thing sometime, him and I, and we're not really conversing with each other on what we're preaching or anything, but it comes up in conversation that, hey, you know, I'm working on this and I'm working on that. And it's kind of interesting to be able to do that and to know that God has us teaching those things right now to try to help others out there. And I want to help you all out there. Don't say anything till you get back. All right. So, all right, let's see here. Let's see what's going on here. You have to step away for a minute. Okay, well, we'll let you step away just for a minute. Yeah, we have air conditioning and potato chips. You know, these Isaac McCoy's wife. Maybe I'll teach about Isaac McCoy sometime, the missionary to the Indians, and just the blessing that that man was and his precious wife, who lost 11 of their 13 or 14 children on the mission field, and they died. So they died for the gospel's sake, and they were sick, and, you know, just amazing. Amazing, amazing life, and we ought not forget those people that went on before us, amen, that labored for us to have the gospel. Hello, Andrea, good to have you on here. Joe McDonald, good to have you on here. Moon Pie, you got to quit using that name. You got to use something that makes sense to me. You're making me laugh too hard. I have to try to keep a straight face and say that. Tencom Emmanuel, code, Indian reservations because of Masonic Rosicrucian conquest. Well, the Indian reservations that Isaac McCoy was not a Mason or anything like that. He was a Baptist, and he tried to save their lives, so because they were going to be killed. For the last month. Amen. So anyway, it's good to have you all on here, and Brother Luke, he's lurking in the background. He's there somewhere. Yep, I'm live, so Luke's trying to, yep, okay. Yep, anyway, we'll try to get it. I think we're okay, though. I think we're okay. I think we're on okay, and we should be fine. Jim's back there with the blue wrench. Aaron's got the blue wrench. All right. Hello from Washington State. Carl and Mary Winters. Carl, you changed your name more than Carter has liver pills, man. What am I going to do with you? I can't keep track of your names. Half the time, I don't know who you are. Alias Carl Winters. Alias. Something weird I can't say, I can't pronounce. Alias this and alias that. All right, anyway, I think you get in trouble, Carl, more than anybody I know. Becca's on here. We're up to 51. All right, 22 likes. Let's get that up a little bit here. Let's get that the thumbs up there on the video. Share it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Tweeting it around. Let's get that on there. Let's get the likes up, guys. There's 51 people on and 22 likes. Come on, we got to push that algorithm up there. The AI rhythm, we have to push it up there so people, more people will get on here and see this, and it'll spread from sea to shining sea and then beyond. All right, there's 25. Can I see 26? Can I see 27? I'm not Reg Kelly. I can't do auctioneering. Carl, do you really get in trouble that much that you change your name? I don't know who you are anymore, Carl. Anyway, let's see here. Josh from Columbus, Ohio. He is known as the Truth Seeker. Brenda Barber. Barbero? Barber. Florida. All right. So we have Luke Bicey on here. We have Total Failure on here. Come on, guys. Stop it. Have you ever tried to read these names? I know. Most people don't read these names. They just don't. They don't talk to any of you. They just let you sit there. And I'm crazy enough to talk to all of you for some reason. I don't know what's the matter with me to converse with all of you out here in YouTube land here. But I do. All right. Well, pray for Mrs. Pye that they get a job, that the job comes through for her husband. Susie Q, that's really you. Hey, that rhymes. I didn't even try to do that. Katie Porter in Ohio. I know who you are. I know who you all are. Barbor. Barbor. Thank you. You have to pronounce it like that for me in slow motion because I rode the small bus to school, the little short bus, so I need all the help I can get with that. I'm very good at mutilating the English language. I speak Americanese and my own dialect. I think I get it from my dad. He messes up everybody's name. He literally can mess up anyone's name, my father can. Anyone's. My dad, after a while, when you get so old, when you're 75 years old, you can call anybody anything you want as long as it's remotely close to their name. I've learned that it doesn't matter because that's what my dad does. Luke will be the face of the new Giants. I'm sure of that because of Luke's giant Nephilim size of 6'5". But then we have Erroneous on there. I gave him that name. Erroneous. Erroneous Maximus. How do you say Chimley? Jim, you can never forget my dad, can you, man? Once you meet my dad, you can never forget him. Oh, man, don't we have a lot of fun. Oh, I know I got to get going here pretty soon, but I'm just warming up here. So I'm trying to warm up here a little bit and get ready and say hi to everybody and get going before I hit the ground running here with everything. And I don't know how far we'll get through these giant structures. If you see all these, watch this. You ready to get a headache? Here we go. Ready? And one. Hey, that's not it. That was one. Oh, that is one. Yeah. Two, three, four, five, six, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. How about all that, huh? All right. From Northern Maine, Melissa Foster. Hey, if I haven't talked to you on here before, tell me how in the world did you find us? Yes, my father did say fornification. When he was preaching one time on the pulpit out there in the street, he said fornification instead of fornication, but they still got what he meant, and they were still mad at him. That's right. Susie Q said, maybe Luke is from Swedish stock, like a lot of Minnesotans. That's true, Susie. He is. Want to get married and need a better job. I'd appreciate the prayers of all the saints. John Robinson. Are you the John Robinson that's on Facebook? Are you that same John Robinson, or are you a different John Robinson that's friends with me on Facebook that's been there for like years? I don't know. I never know. I just try to guess, but I see a lot of people, and they try to contact me. If I don't get back to you, it's not because I'm mad at anybody. It's just because I really can't get back to everybody a lot of times. All right, let's see. Anthony Wayne Daniel. Oh, yeah, I remember you. Let's see. Oh, my wife wants to remind you of something. Wants me to remind you all of something because we listened to something the other day that was really good. It's from Lamplighter. Lamplighter, you can go online and look at that. And they have this story. It's called Jessica's Journey, and it's very good for is a dramatized audio. Very good for children and anybody really, but good for children on long trips and things like that. It's called Jessica's Journey, and they do charge for these on there. I don't know what they charge for that one, but I mean, people put a lot of work into those things to do those dramatizations and everything like that. And it's very good. It's from an old story back, 100 and some years ago or more, I think. About 120, 130 years ago. Very good, though. So I suggest, if you can afford it, to buy that audio. I think you'll really enjoy it. It was very moving. My children were very moved by it. And Truthful Doctrine of Jesus Christ, and it was good. So I can't vouch for anything else because I haven't listened to all of them, but that one was really good. All right, John, you are the same one from Facebook. Okay, well, good. Well, God bless you. I appreciate you all being there. I really do appreciate you all listening to us. I do. And I thank God for it, and I want to be a blessing to you. I want to help you with some things. And, you know, when we're done with the Giants, or if I decide to veer off from the Giants, I am going to move into the charismatic movement and try to help some people with that, because it is a dangerous movement, I believe. But I really kind of wanted to keep going with this today. I wasn't planning on it. I was just kind of looking for some direction from the Lord, and he gave it to me here with that. Why don't you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6 here, and let's get started here. Some of you are okay with me rambling for a little while and talking and opening up and kind of like, you know, actually wanting to get to know you and not like trying to ignore you and act like you're just somebody that listens and not somebody that I care about. So when you see me interact with you, that you know, I'm a real person. That's just who I am. I mean, I'm not saying everybody else isn't. I'm saying I'm more kind of confrontational at times. I can be, but I also, you know, I also like to know people, like to talk to them and everything else like that. So when you see me do that, that's the reason why I like talking to folks and, you know, getting to know them and everything. So, boy, what am I doing here? I'm going backwards here. You know, this is like the opposite of my Mac, and I'll probably have Luke kind of change this back for me or something, because this mouse is like totally messing me up. But anyway, I'm a creature of habit, and when I don't get my habit, I don't like it. Anyway, but all right, let's go. Let's get going here. We're ready to go. We used to correspond on Twitter a little, but I got banned for expressing the immediate previous mainstream scientific opinion on homosexuality. Oh. Then you were gone. All right, let's see. English fundamentalist. Thanks. Got to run. Look forward to catching up with this tomorrow. All right. Sounds good. I found OPVC right here on YouTube. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you found us, Melissa Foster. That's good. You know, I have a friend that pastors a church in Florida. He's an assistant pastor. And he asked me to come out there sometime. He invited me to come out there sometime and visit with him and spend some time at his church. And I might do that with my wife here in the middle of winter when everybody's got their clothes on. I might just do that. Anyway, all right, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Okay, so there were giants in the earth. There's a lot of wicked things going on. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening. And here we go. Okay, here we go. Now, if there are giants in the land, then wouldn't it stand to reason that there would be giant tools and giant structures that are found that would defy evolution? You know, that would defy evolution and that would really set up the precedent to understand, okay, well, they had to have somewhere to live. And these giants must have built these big giant structures, right? They must have done that. Somebody had to build these giant structures. Who did it? Well, I think that's a good question to ask, don't you? All right, I think it's a pretty good question to ask. So ask away is what I'm saying. And we're going to move forward from the giants we were talking about and their structures. Right? And their structures. And some of their tools. Because, I mean, you know, if you're a giant dude, you're not going to be carrying a little hammer, right? Right? Let's see. What am I looking for here? Give me a second here. Here we go. All right, I'm going to show you this a little bit later. But would you look at the size of that thing? This is an axe head. This man is holding this axe head with two hands. Now, why is he holding this axe head with two hands? He's holding it with two hands because it weighs 60 pounds. It weighs 60 pounds. Do you know the average hammer weighs anywhere from 5 to 20 pounds at the most a sledgehammer would weigh? Right? So I'm kind of setting a backdrop for you to understand something here. This doesn't mean I agree with everything this guy in the picture says or anybody else. I'm just telling you, this is what they found, and you're going to find out that these guys don't want this to be true. Now, I should get into this, but I'm not going to yet. Because we're going to teeter on it today, folks. We're going to teeter on the religion of the giants a little bit. We're going to delve into that a little bit. We're going to get some clues to that a little bit by the giant structures that we find. That there's something going on here. Now, remember, Satan doesn't care what you believe as long as it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're not believing in the faith once delivered unto the saints, then he's fine with whatever you believe. Whatever bastardized antichrist, off the wall, phony religion you could ever believe, or a mixture of that thereof, if you add Jesus into the other 500 Hindu gods that are out there, he's okay with that as long as it's not the Jesus of the Bible. Right? If it's not the Jesus of the Bible, or if it's the Jesus of the Bible, then he's got a problem with it. He doesn't want you to believe the God of the Bible. Why? And I'm telling you, these guys want to hide these giant stone structures. They want to hide this stuff. They want to hide these tools. They want to, like, poo-poo all this stuff. And the reason they want to do it is because they don't want you to believe the God of the Bible. See, we have an answer. In my worldview, I have an answer. Do you understand that? I have an absolute answer for why this is there. Do you see that? I have an answer. What's your answer, preacher? Genesis 6. Do you know they say that a 12-foot man had to wield, like a 12 or 13-foot man or bigger, had to wield something like this in order to use it? Right? That's right, Susie. Lucifer hates God and he hates us. And he has a religion. And evolution is part of that religion. Right? So, he wants to make sure that you don't believe the truth. He wants to make sure that you can't explain things. Now, I'm going to touch on this because I feel like I have to right now. I want you to understand something, okay? That they're not going to let all of this information stay suppressed forever. In fact, they're starting to let out the alien UFO information. Full disclosure, that's Pastor Hoggard did a broadcast on that. Why? Well, because they want you to believe that in the ancient astronaut theory. So they're starting to let it out. They're starting to let this information out. And I'm here to tell you that I'm going to be a Baptist preacher that's going to say 7 years ago, 8 years ago, long time ago, in my ministry, I started to tell you about giants and aliens and hybrids and all of those things. And I showed you the Word of God and I showed you where they came from. And I told you that this is what they were. And now we're starting to see at the end of this conspiracy, we're starting to see that now it's unfolding before our eyes for a reason, because it's a new religion that they're pushing. It's a different God that they're pushing. They would not know the God of their fathers, right? It would not be, but the God of forces would they serve, right? That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. They are setting up the Antichrist debut. And here's what they're going to say. Well, we told you millions of years ago that aliens came here and planted life on this earth. And that's how we have it. And now the aliens have come back. And now there were giants on the earth in those days. Yes, there were. Because the aliens fathered them. Something to that effect. Do I know exactly how they're going to do it? Absolutely not. Does it really matter? No, because it's all going to be Antichrist. But you need to understand that you can explain, well, God talked about these aliens. God talked about these giants. God talked about these hybrids. God warned us about all these things. Years ago, God showed us what was going to happen. God showed us all those years ago. Right? Right? Well, think about that, Jim. You make a good point. Trump's Space Force and also the bum rush for Area 51. It's going to help push the full disclosure. It's going to be part of the game. And I'm telling you, these giants are connected to it. They're all connected to it. They're all part of the plan. All part of it. All right, kids. Now it's time to get into it. All right? So that was my grand introduction to this thing. We are going to first go to the Easter Islands. The Easter Islands. What in the world is that? Well, they found out that due to different things that happened on this Easter Island, one of the things that happened was the bodies of these giant structures were buried, but their heads were sticking out, right? Their heads were sticking out. Easter Island, right? One of the most interesting places And the most puzzling is Easter Island in South Pacific, with its numerous gigantic stone sculptures of strange men with short arms, bald heads, long noses, and thin lips, who look Caucasian. They are depicted from their waist up and carved from the local volcanic rock. The carvings are very heavy, and many are 20 feet tall, some weighing as much as 180,000 pounds. It is still not certain how the gigantic statues were moved or by whom. Right? Oh, excuse me. I might have said islands, but it was island. Everybody's a critic today. Just kidding. Anyway, so, but there is the structure. Some of them, right? Some of them. So who in the world built those big-headed things, right? Look at that. And the fact that they're still there. And the fact that they're still standing. Right? Unbelievable, really, isn't it? Unbelievable. But it is there, and it is real. It is real. So, why did they make them like that? Why do they look like that? What were they modeling them after? They had something in their mind, right? You're okay, Susie. I'm just giving you a hard time. It's okay. No big deal. Let's see here. So look at it. Look at what we have here. Some people ask, did giants build these structures? I kind of think, yeah, I think they did. I think they did. I think they did. How about a gigantic cave in Israel? Right? I want to show you something here. Big head. Not big head. I don't want to show you big head. Big, scary, spooky, big head man. This is Zedekiah's cave. Now, I want to show you something a little bit interesting about Zedekiah's cave here. But let's read about this gigantic cave. Traveling in Israel in 2009, the days were filled with one fascinating thing after another. But for this book, I was particularly interested in seeing one site that was not on our itinerary. The Cave of the Giants, it is called. Our tour guide told us that the ceiling of the cave was 80 feet high and apparently had been carved out by hand. Were there really men who needed such a room? There are many man-made caves in Israel, and they are all carved into thick layers of limestone. I suppose that it could have been a quarry for building blocks. The huge cave under the city of Jerusalem was quarried for building stones for the Jewish temple, we were told. But there were giants, and just as today we build houses with ceilings often twice our height, it is conceivable that men over 30 feet tall did the same thing to keep the cave cool. Well, let's take a look at some pictures. That is a big one. Look how humongous those structures are. Okay. I want to read this to you, though. I thought you'd find this a little interesting. Right here. A Masonic ceremony was held in the cave in 1868, led by a past Grand Master of the state of Kentucky. The first Masonic lodge in the Holy Land, known as the Royal Solomon Mother Lodge No. 293, met in the cave on May 7, 1873. The Freemasons of Israel hold an annual ceremony in Zedekiah's cave and consider it one of the most revered sites in their history. Masonic ritual claims that King Solomon was their first Grand Master, and some Freemasons feel the cave is definitely Solomon's quarry. According to Matty Shalone, head of the Israeli Freemasons, since the 1860s we have been holding ceremonies in the cave. According to Supreme Grand Royal Arch Chapter of the State of Israel, the site has been special meeting for Mark Master Masons and Royal Arch Masons in particular. Starting in the days of the British Mandate in the 1920s, the cave was used for the ceremony of Mark Master Masons. Although this practice was temporarily suspended between the years of 1948 and 1968, the impressive ceremony of the consecration of the Supreme Grand Royal Arch Chapter of the State of Israel was commenced again in the spring of 1969, and ever since then, the Mark degree has been performed in the caves once a year on average. Well, now. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? So they're saying this is Solomon's cave, right? And they're saying that they met inside there, and all the master masons meet inside there. It says here Herod the Great used the main quarry of Zedekiah's cave for building blocks in the renovation of the temple and its retaining walls, including what is known today as the Western Wailing Wall. Stone from the quarry may also have been used for the building projects of Herod Agrippa. Interesting, isn't it? Suleiman the Magnificent, the Ottoman Sultan, who built the present walls around this old city, who apparently mined the quarry, ultimately sealing it up around 1540 because of security concerns. In 1854, the American missionary James Turner Barclay followed rumors of an underground cavern near the Damascus Gate and apparently, with the help of his dog, discovered the entrance. Barclay and his two sons returned secretly at night and explored the cave. Interesting, huh? But here's this giant, huge cave, right? And this giant, huge place. Connected, right? Interesting, isn't it? How about the giant arch of Ctesiphon? I think I'm saying that right. It's in Babylon. Babylonia. I think that's here. Here we go. Look at that. Huge structure. Saddam Hussein liked that place. Saddam Hussein liked it a lot. Saddam Hussein tried to protect that place. And remember, Babylon was the center of the world. Babylon is in Iraq. Look how tall this arch is. Who built that? Right? There is a giant building on the plains of Babylonia near Baghdad that must be 100 feet high. At the top of it appears to be made of mud bricks or stone and is shaped like a modern domed Quonset building. It looks like a hangar for a blimp. The top is 10 feet thick, called the White Palace. It was built in 629 BC for King Chosroes. Did they construct an enormous wooden frame like we build to lay the brick on to make an arched doorway? Perhaps they constructed a massive solid form of solid clay bricks and then removed it when the building was done. It is an architectural wonder. Well, I think it's interesting here that the connection that they have between Babylon, right? That gives you a hint to some of the religion, right? What does the Bible say about the king of Babel? Right? The king of Babel. We understand, don't we? The Tower of Babel. We understand, don't we? We understand Nimrod, right? King Nebuchadnezzar, we understand him. Saddam Hussein said he was the descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. Nimrod is four times in the Bible. Isn't that something? And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. Right? He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Do you know what that means? He was a Gibor. He was a mighty one, right? But do you know what that means also? It means that he was a mighty hunter. He was a hunter of men's heads. He liked to go after men's heads. Think about that one for a minute. Cush beget Nimrod, the Bible says again. They call it the land of Nimrod and the entrance thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land and when he treadeth within our borders. Right? Nimrod, he was a mighty rebellious man, wasn't he? By the way, the name Nimrod is four times in the King James Bible. Four times. That stands for that spirit world. Right? Look at that. Taken in 1864 before the collapse of the right-hand facade. All right. Interesting structures, aren't they? Where did they come from? Why are they there? Who built them? Because he was a hunter of men's heads, that's why. That's why the Bible lists him and talks about him. That's why it's so important to understand who Nimrod was. By the way, his kingdom, there's four centers to his kingdom. He's four times in there. There was four cities in his kingdom there. And he left off building the tower. The giant arch. So that's where that comes from. Who would have built that in Babylonia? Oh, Babylon, right? How about the massive carved stones of Peru? Let's look at some of those. Let's see. That's not it. That one's not it. I know I have it here. Actually, this is the temple. I believe this is the same area. Temple of the Sun. Yeah. Temple of the Sun. This is where this is at. Those we're going to look at in a little while. Temple of the Sun here. Check this out. This is interesting. One of the fascinating things to see in Peru, one of the most amazing, is the Stones of Cusco. I thought I had that up there, but I must not have. Let me type that in here. Cusco. All right, let's go back here. These walls are humongous, massive stones. Look at that. Look how big this lady, is probably 5 foot something. Look how tall these stones are. Yes, I do think they were built by giants. Let's see. Give you a good perspective of this. Who else built these things, right? They are absolutely humongous. The size of these. All right, the Temple of the Sun. Some of those stones are over 20 feet tall, 15 feet wide, and 10 feet thick. They're made of gray granite, and the largest ones appear to be sitting on an even larger block. Not only that, they came from a quarry a mile away, down a valley and up a hill at 11,200 feet elevation. Think about this for a second. How much those stones weighed? How in the world could a man move those our size? Well, the answer is he couldn't. Right? The answer is he couldn't. Perfectly fit together, right, to preserve them all these years later. Some of these stones are 20 feet tall, 15 feet wide, 10 feet thick. Sure. Sure, fallen angels could have helped them and given them the technology to do that. Absolutely, I believe that. There are thousands of these giant stones. Moreover, they are not just square or rectangular, which would be hard enough, but they are cut at various angles, and in one stone there may be as many as 16 surfaces that fit perfectly to other stones. They are so accurately fitted that a piece of paper could not be put between them. These are also massive cut stones of Machu Picchu, I think I said that right, and Sacsahuaman. All right, so you couldn't get a piece of paper between these. Do you get that? You couldn't get a piece of paper between these. Right? How'd that happen? What I think is fascinating, let's go back to this here. Look at this. 12 angled stones. So you're talking giant stones, but you're also talking the fact that they were able to make those into 12 different angles. Why 12? Right? I mean, isn't that amazing? Unbelievable. 12 angles? Here's another one. We just talked about that. Look at those. You get the suspicion that something was going on there? Right? Something a little different's going on there. I think so. I think so. I think there is. Right? We know that some of the Peruvian kings were giants, but I know of none that were over 10 feet tall, said Joe Taylor. Even if they had many that size, it doesn't seem possible that even they would be able to move them. Perhaps they had some means we have not rediscovered. There are reports from that ancient men utilizing drumming to move large stones. Some writers maintain that fallen angels taught them the technology to do some of these things. Or perhaps men who were the sons of fallen angels were extremely powerful giants and they moved them. Well, I think it's possible that it could be all of the above. Think about it. Unbelievable structure. But they all have the strange spirit about them. It's hard to describe. Right? 24 angles of stone. I mean, we don't have men that can do this today. But we're getting smarter. I'm telling you, we're evolving. We're getting better. That's what we're doing. No, we're not. We're getting dumber than a box of rocks. No pun intended. Right? How are they doing this? That's right, Katie Porter. It's just unbelievable. There was advanced technology and they understood these things. How did they know this stuff? Now, let's talk about this for a second. Thousands of massive stones make up this wall from a quarry a mile away. At 11,200 feet. Could normal men have moved these stones? No. I would say that it would have to be fallen angels that showed them how to do this. I would say that it would have to be, or it would have to be giants that were 30 feet tall that had to do it. Right? It ain't normal, that's for sure. Huge, perfectly fitted hard granite stones. High in the Andes. Those stones weigh thousands. Tons. Let me get you an exact figure here. Well, some of them weigh 180,000 pounds. How about the giant stones of Bolivia in the Bolivian Andes? That's their website. We know about the Inca stones. We know about this one. Let's talk about the Temple of the Sun a little bit, because that's going to come up here. I think it comes up here before. Yeah, we're going to talk about that one. Hopefully I have that one up there. If I don't, I'm going to put it up there for you. I will find it. Let's see. Is that over here? No, but that's cool. No, we won't get there yet. Let's talk about the Temple of the Sun. Do you have a special place for tradition or rituals in your culture or religion? Perhaps where a rite of passage might be celebrated, or a wedding, or simply to worship the Temple of the Sun at Machu Picchu served as a special purpose to the ancient Incas. The Temple of the Sun, or Templo del Sol, was a sacred temple built by the Inca for ceremonies to pay tribute and give offerings to the sun. So, they worshipped the sun. They worshipped the sun. Okay, I'm just making sure I'm not too loud here for you guys. But maybe sometimes I move into the microphone a little too much. We'll have to adjust the volume on this to make sure where it is. The Incas used the Temple of the Sun to pay tribute to the sun itself and various gods, including Viracocha, the creator god. I think that's an interesting one. So, let's see if I got that right here. Because I'm not used to using this. There we go. Was the supreme god of the Incas. He is also known as Viracocha, Viracocha, or Vira something or other. Cocha. Considered the creator god, he was the father of all the Inca gods. How about that? Well, look at that. And it was he who formed the earth, the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the living beings. When he finished his work, he was believed to have traveled far and wide, teaching humanity and bringing the civilized arts before he headed west across the Pacific, never to be seen again, but promising one day to return. In his absence, lesser deities were assigned the duty of looking after the interests of human race, but Viracocha was nevertheless always watching from afar the progress of his children. As the supreme Pan-Andean creator god, omnipresent Viracocha was often referred to by the Inca using descriptions of his various functions rather than his general name, like signifying a lake, foam, or sea fat. These other names perhaps used because God's real name was too sacred to be spoken. They called him the creator god. He created men and women, but this time he used clay. He also, you heard that story before? Right? Sounds a lot like Ra and the gods of Egypt. That's right, Susie. It's the same religion. It's a mock of the God of the Bible. Remember, Satan doesn't care as long as it's not Christ. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Look at that. Almost like Caesar Borgia, huh? His son, right? Or not. Yeah, maybe I got the name wrong, but I think that's what his name was. But isn't it interesting? How about that? Not the God of the Bible, but Antichrist. So suppose that that Antichrist comes back. Right? So suppose all of these things are being used for that purpose. Right? Maybe so. Maybe so. The Temple of the Sun sits on top of a large rocky mountain as part of the Machu Picchu archaeological site. It's semicircular in shape, made of granite stones with a large door and two windows, one facing north and another facing east. Some historians refer to it as the Taurian or the December solstice, although this reference seems to be slightly older and the temple is most commonly referred to as the Temple of the Sun or Templo del Sol. Few people had access to this place, that the ceremonies of the ordinary people were made a public square, right? There's a solar observatory. In this place, they put many pieces of pottery to equilibrate the position of the sun. They put this on both windows to perform the rituals perfectly. Right? The priest was the person who are in charge of performing the sacrifices, killing many animals, and by the reading of the stomach and lungs, they could see the future, prevent any disaster. What was that called? Do you remember that in the Bible talked about that? Look at this. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way at the head of the two ways to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. At his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem to appoint captains to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice of the shouting, with shouting, to appoint battering rams against the gates, to cast a mount and to build a fort. And it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight, to them that have sworn oaths, but he will call to remembrance the iniquity, that they may be taken. Yeah, divination. Looked in the liver, right? Interesting, huh? There's definitely some clues to that religion, isn't there? Definitely some clues to that. The mausoleum was a natural cave under the Temple of the Sun, which might contain the rest of the Inca, Pachacutec, the Inca who sent to made Machu Picchu in the 15th century. This theory was created by Hiram Bingham, but recent studies said the building was made to celebrate the ceremony of the Mother Earth. Interesting, huh? That is the temple. How about the unbelievable stones of Baalbek? We'll get to that in a second here. We're going to get to those stones of Baalbek. Interesting stuff. But anyway, while I got you here, I'll just remind you of a few things. Number one, there's about 70 people on right now. Let's get those likes up, those thumbs up, and let's share this video on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all over social media. Get that sent out to everybody, and let's get the thumbs up on the video so we can push that algorithm out there and get that to other people so they have an idea and they can go and they can look at everything else and share this with people that are interested in these topics and that want to learn more about that. So don't forget to do that. Don't forget to email me at PastorCooley@iCloud.com or go to OPVCOnline.org. If you go to OPVCOnline.org, that is our church website. If you go there, you can subscribe, and we're putting together that list to try to get that on for you and get everybody on the same page there. In case they kick me off of YouTube for some reason, I can just pick up the pace right on SermonAudio.com/PastorCooley and go from there. That's right. Pause for space station identification. Yeah, that's right. So back in the day, right? But I hope you're keeping up to date with those things. I'm working on it. The future, we've got some plans. It's just going to take me some time. I'm a busy guy sometimes, and I get ahead of myself too far. But I got to try to keep everything in perspective there. We got 46 likes. There's about 70 people on. Let's get that up to about 70. Let's get it near that 70 range, if you would, please. If you that are listening, just get the thumbs up on the video and everything like that. I really appreciate it. Yep. Send your email address to there and to opvc.org. That's right. If you would, please, that would be great if you could get your information sent to us. Also, just want to thank you folks out there. Some of you sent in donations and gifts and things like that here in the last couple weeks, and I'm very grateful. Some folks did it on PayPal. Some folks did it on just mailed in a check and everything like that, and I'm grateful for that as the Lord uses that, and it's a blessing to us. It helps pay for all the bills and all that other stuff and all the equipment and take care of me while I continue to study and show myself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, bringing you broadcasts like this and researching information, all those other things. So I'm very grateful for that. I really am. Thank you so much for doing that for us. And, you know, we don't charge for anything. We don't do that. We don't believe in doing that. We never have, and never would, but I don't monetize my account and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. I don't have any desire to do that, but I am grateful for those that have thought about us and everything like that. So very, very grateful for that. And thank God for that, that the Lord would use you and to be a blessing to us. Amen. So we thank God for that. But anyway, so keep in touch with us here. We'll continue on with this giant structures and tools that defy evolution, because that's really what it does. What it does is it shows that there were advanced races of advanced race of man out there before, and that man did do a lot more than what he's given credit for today. And you should go watch the video advanced. Let's see, pre-flood world technology that defies evolution. You should go watch that video if you've not watched it. Luke put a lot of hard work into that. We did a lot of research on that, And we believe that it'll be a blessing to you if you'll listen to it and you'll learn from it and you'll watch it and you'll share it with all your friends and other people would need that, okay, that would be interested in that. Some people that are looking for answers, because, you know, honestly, there are some people that are looking for answers. And they want to know what's going on. They want to know. They want to have an idea of what's happening out there and how man got here, and was there an advanced race, and are we actually devolving? Are we actually? And yes, we are. Our bodies aren't as strong as theirs were. Our immune systems aren't as strong as theirs were. A lot of things are different. So, Luke, if you want to put the link on there for the pre-flood technology, pre-flood world technology that defies evolution, if you can put that link on there, that'd be great. You know, I'd appreciate that, if you can find that. You know, they are. That's interesting you say that, Katie, because that's Katie Porter, because that's what they're doing. They're introducing these things, and the reason they're introducing these things is to try to deceive the masses, and they're going to do the big swerve. I believe this. Okay, let's ask this question while I got you on here. Let's ask this question. Does anybody believe that the Smithsonian is destroying all the evidence of giants, or are they going to manipulate it to fit the satanic agenda? Here's another question for you. Is the Vatican destroying all the information they probably have about giants and other things? Or are they going to manipulate it? They're not going to destroy it. They're going to use it. And see, that's the key. They're going to manipulate it. I don't believe they've gotten rid of any of that the giant skeletons. I don't believe they destroyed any of them. Not any of them. Because it is of more power to them to release it at the right time to get what they want. To deceive people. You can't deceive people if you erase it. All right, follow my logic here. Isn't that how Satan works? Satan knew that he could not convince Eve that there was no God. But what could he do? He could deceive her into not believing him. Right? Genesis 3:1, now the spirit was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He's going to pervert it. Just like he did Eve. Now, in the 1870s, Satan started producing Bibles that were perverted. Why? Because he couldn't erase the Word of God. He could just pervert the Word of God, and he could accomplish more damage. So what they're going to do with this giant structures and tools that defy evolution, they, and with aliens and UFOs and all these other things, they are going to twist it to fit their narrative. That's what they're going to do. Right? Yes, I believe everything that Smithsonian has is going to be revealed in time. Right? I believe it's going to be revealed in time. It's only a matter of time. That's how Satan works. He's not going to erase it all. He's going to set it up for the aliens. That's what he's going to do. He's going to set it up for that. That's what he's doing right now. That's what he's doing. Setting it up. Setting it up. It's so true, Katie Porter, because see, they have to resurrect an Antichrist. They have to. They have to produce an Antichrist. See, the world's not going to gather around Jesus Christ because the world hates Christ. But they will gather around a Superman. Right? They will gather around a Superman. That's what it's all about. That's the man of sin that shall be revealed, the son of perdition, right? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, for he that as God sitteth in the temple of God, right? Here it is. Let's just read it. All right, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as if the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. So anything that has to do with God, anything that has to do with God, he's going to exalt himself above all that is called God. All theology. Or that is worshipped. So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is not a mistake in the Bible. This is on purpose. Because he is going to impersonate the God of the Bible. Remember, yet ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity, that's a spirit, doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Amen. But that's the goal of the devil. To pervert. Not to erase. He can't. All right. Well, let's get back into it, shall we? Giant, I think these are the giant stones of Bolivia. Oh, these are the giant stones of Bolivia that I wanted to show you, actually. Check these weird ones out. Look at the size of this. Look at the architecture. Look at the structure. Look at the perfection of that work. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Look at that. You see that? The Puma Punca, Punku, in the Bolivian Andes is about a mile from the Tiahuanaco. Here are not only more massive stones, some weighing 400,000 pounds, but they are held together by eye-shaped copper nickel alloy bars requiring smelting temperatures of 3,500 degrees. A process not known to modern man until the 1930s. One stone is estimated to weigh 800,000 pounds and came from a quarry 10 miles away. Did you hear me? 800,000 pounds from 10 miles away. The Calasaya Pyramid in Lake Titicaca is said to have stones estimated to weigh 240,000 pounds. Fred David states that the modern Peruvians say that a race of giants built these megalithic structures before them. On the other hand, if the small Peruvians built them, you would have to throw out ideas of primitive man evolving. Right? Look at that. These are like knobs. Unbelievable. Look at the size of those stones. Look at that. That's a pretty good sized man. He looks to be about 6'4 or 6'5. Look how long his legs are. How about this? Pre-Inca, Egyptian, do you see the similarity in these stones? We're going to talk about the Colossus of Memnon. Look at that. The old image of Ramses, we're going to talk about that. Experts have calculated that the Ramses had approximately 1,000 tons of weight to it. That's right, God did destroy all these places of sun worship, a bunch of devils. He destroyed them all. Look at this. Look at the size of this. This is Baalbek. Look at the size of that. We're going to get to Baalbek in a minute. Look at those. Look at that. 1,200 ton block of stone. Unbelievably huge stone blocks of Baalbek, Lebanon. Just massive, massive size. Let me see here if I have... That's something else we're going to get to. That too. We're going to get to that. We'll get to that. got to that already. This is fine, too. I'm going to exit out of that one. Exit out of that one. Bear with me here, kids. Stones of Cusco. Done with that. Done with that. I'm going to make this a little bit easier on myself here. I'm done with that. I am done with that. Okay. Let's see. I want to show you these giant stone structures here. Whoops, wrong one. Actually, I'm going to show you that one. Here we go. Okay. So you have these giant stone structures, right? Right. Deuteronomy says that they were judged for all those pornographic wicked sins that they had committed and the vile things. Look at this. Enduring mystery surrounds the ancient site of Puma. We talked about that, didn't we? We just read that. Look at that. Look at that creature. Very fascinating. Look at the design here. Look at this. Look at the precision on that stone. Look at that. This is a bunch of dummies did this. It's a bunch of dum-dums. Knuckle dragon dum-dums did this. Come on. Let's talk about the Baalbek or Baalbek stones. In Lebanon, Bekaa Valley, there are stones that apparently were a part of a wall or platform that simply challenged the imagination. What ordinary men could have quarried and finished these massive, massive stones that are nearly perfectly shaped? In this old photograph on the far left, you're going to see here in a minute, below a white bar, there is a figure of a man in a fez. The same height. It helps us to see how thick the upper stones are called. The upper stones are. They're called the trilithon. The three large stones are estimated to weigh from 1.5 to 2 million pounds each, with the largest and most precisely cut stone block estimated to weigh 1,500 tons. That's 3 million pounds. They measure 64 feet by 14 feet by 12 feet. The lower course of the stones just under them, which goes around the huge complex, must be several feet wider as they slope out to an even wider base and are estimated to weigh 600,000 pounds each. From the looks of them, I'm not sure they aren't actually heavier. The craftsmanship is amazing, and there appears to be little, if any, cracking in the stones due to ground shifting, suggesting highly skilled building techniques. Lebanon is where the cedars of Lebanon mentioned in the Bible come from. Okay. Let's see here. Interesting name, isn't it? Whoops. I'm sorry, I gotta get a different keyboard here. I'm not used to this one. Here we go. Look at this. See this man in a fez hat here? Fezzer here? We'll call him Fester. We'll call him Festus. Anyway, Festus here. I don't know where this is going. Okay, good. Here, that's fine. All right, here we go. Oh, thanks. Leave me alone. Okay. Look at the size of this guy. Here's this guy here, right? Here's this big structure. Do you see the size of this man? He's probably a 6 foot tall guy or so. Look at this. Massively huge. Massively huge. Look at the size of these stones. 1,650 tons. Look at the size of those. Hmm. humongous. Look at that. So you get in the picture how that Baal, false gods, all of these things are being connected together. The worship of the sun, the Egyptian gods, all of these things are just working together in that scene. And we're seeing them all come together. They're all Antichrist. That's what we're seeing. Let's see. Let's see. Let me get this here. Let's see. Right? Look at that. Look at the size of that. By the way, Zeus has a lot to do with this. The false gods do. The Antichrist, we understand that. That this is the goal of Antichrist. All right? So, absolutely humongous. The Temple of Jupiter, Baalbek stones, humongous in Lebanon. Fourth trilithon-sized block abandoned in the quarry. So here's a big old block here that was just abandoned there, right? Okay. Are the trilithon pre-flood? Some think that these stones were cut before Noah's flood. But because they are of limestone, it is my contention that they are post-flood. And as the atmospheric changes and fountains of the great deep opened up, it caused the limestone to form worldwide. So rapidly, in fact, that the animals giving birth were frozen in the place with fast-forming mud. Right? Look at that. This is called the pregnant woman. That's what they called this stone because it is so absolutely humongous. They're like, where in the world did this come from? Anyway, look at this. The entrance of the Golden Temple in Baalbek. How about that? Interesting, huh? Fictional, I believe, but nevertheless, interesting at that point. All right. So we understand that these giant structures didn't come out of nowhere. Somebody had to build them. And if there are giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, that the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, right? They bear them children, the mighty men of old, men of renown, right? Look at that. Look at the size of that. Let's see, was this the one that I was... Oh, yep, this is it. Ancient technology that developed it, right? Like, where did it come from? It had to come from somewhere. Right? Somebody had to build those huge giant structures. Somebody had to. All right. Oh, by the way, there is one other stone block, the largest of all stones, called the pregnant woman. I showed you that. Never made it to the site, and he said, and it's still at the quarry nearby. Estimates may vary from 750 tons to 1,500 tons. Author Andrew Collins in the New Dawn magazine cites historian Sancho Nieto of about 1200 BC, who makes a connection to Baalbek and lists the names of Kronos, also called Saturn, the son of Uranus, Uranus, or Calais, and also Coel Syria, for whom Syria is named. These may have been the giants of the fallen angels. He shows that the names of many ancient places in Lebanon are derived from these giants and gods. Mr. Collins adds, too, that these titans, also called titans or satans, helped the Cyclops, who were also giants, build the Tower of Babel for Nimrod in the first few hundred years after the flood. Some say Nimrod was Kronos. We're not saying that's correct. We're just saying that's what they say. The history of the Middle East is filled with these mysterious characters. Universities have convinced several generations that the Greek myths are just that. But unfortunately, many university professors' opinions on anything of a spiritual nature cannot be given serious consideration, as they are also the ones who promote the abstract art, atheism, Marxism, and evolutionism. So think about that. You have this big, huge wall there. You have these big, huge quarries. Where did they come from? Who built those big, huge stones? Then, almost as impressive, the Romans, built their own largest temple of Jupiter onto the original stones, with incredible columns, 7 feet wide and 60 feet tall. How about a 2 million pound statue of Ramses that was said to have been there, but it is gone now? The only other stone carved by man that would possibly be as heavy as the Baalbek stones would be the statue in Egypt of Ramses II in 1300 BC, said to be carved from a single block of granite, quarried 200 miles to the south, weighing an estimated 2,400,000 pounds. 2,400,000 pounds is an estimate. But still, if it's even close to that, it boggles our understanding. Did the Egyptians have the ability to move it, or did they have giant helpers? Either way, evolutionists are hard-pressed to maintain that man is evolving. Furthermore, this gigantic sculpture was toppled by the Persians in 525 BC. Judging from the painting, it was actually in two sections. Think about that. Where'd it go? It got toppled. But it was big. How about the Memnon's gigantic statues? Look at these right here. Look at the size of that. Look at the size of these people here. These are full-grown men. Look at these things. In the book titled Myths and Legends, page 752, the author lists several giant statues. Statues in Karnak, Egypt, the 12 immense statues of gods 52 feet high in adjacent Luxor, are two granite statues 38 feet high in Thebes. In the Thebes are three huge statues now fallen down, one being 64 feet long. Before Christ's advent, there was a statue of Minerva in the Parthenon, 36 feet high, just as old as the temple of Jupiter at Olympia, was seated a statue 68 feet high. As the author said about 12 huge statues in Karnak, they impress upon the beholder that he is entering in the home of departed giants. That was an interesting point of view. The egos of the ancient kings, such as the Ethiopian Memnon, which some say is actually Amenophis, must have been as gigantic as the statues that are attributed to them. These two seated sandstones statues were done about 1,500 years before Christ. They are some 50 feet high, and part of the blocks that construct them are truly enormous. In one from the feet to the waist, the one block is more than 15 square. Wow. How about some gigantic tools now? We see these structures. Well, somebody big had to make them. Somebody had to have some big tools, right? All right. So, we'll get out of there. That was the statue of Ramses. It's no longer there, obviously. It was toppled over. How about these giant tools that were found? Stone axes used by giants is a question found in Africa. These are 60 pounds. Look at that. Let's listen to this. Let me plug this in here.
Katie in the Kalahari Desert of Africa was once an enormous lake. It stretches some 65,000 square kilometers, about the same size as present-day Lake Victoria. The basin is seriously old. Things have remained in their resting places upon the bed of this dry lake for many thousands of years, giving researchers from around the world the opportunity to find things out about our distant past that may have otherwise been impossible. Oxford University's researchers of the School of Geography and Environment, for example, have unearthed new evidence in the Botswana region that suggests the area has endured many drastic climate changes throughout its long history. Upwards of 600 different artifacts have now been recovered and cataloged. The research was apparently prompted by the rediscovery of what are believed to be the world's largest stone tools, thought to have vanished over 25 years ago. The discovery of the four giant axes had not been scientifically reported. It seems the collection was intended to disappear, but was instead thankfully buried within archives until now. Four giant stone hand axes, measuring over 30 centimeters in length and of an unknown age, stone tools suitable for men far larger than we are today. Professor David Thomas, head of the School of Geography and the Environment at the University of Oxford, said, quote, "Many of the tools were found on the dry lake floor, not around its edge, which challenges the view that big lakes were only attracted to humans when they were full of water. As water levels in the lake went down, or during times when they fluctuated seasonally, wild animals would have congregated around the resulting watering holes. It's likely that early human populations would have seen this area as a prolific hunting ground, when food resources in the region were more concentrated, than at times when the regional climate was wetter and food was more plentiful and the lake was full of water," end quote. Co-researcher Dr. Sally Burrow has dated the sediment and shorelines of the lake basin, which has shown that the lake was filled with water on multiple occasions in the last 250,000 years. New research began in 2010 and funded by the Leverholm Trust and is investigating possible links between the lake basin and the Zambezi River. While initial discussions are in hand for setting up a major international geoarchaeological program to further unravel the complexities of the lake bed. Although these stone tools suggest early man co-inhabited the basin with a giant species of humans, the researchers are clearly distancing themselves from such postulation at this moment in time.
Okay, stop for a second. Did you hear that? They're distancing themselves from this at this time. Oh my goodness. Okay, so because it doesn't fit your evolutionary design and your preconceived notions, you're just basically erasing it from... No, there's no way that could be it. No way that could happen. I thought that was something, right? There's just absolutely no way. No, that could never happen. Isn't that something? Well, here's these stone axes, right? There's axes, there's sledgehammers, there's all kinds of things. Look at this. Now, they're stating that they found these. There is another one. Let me see if I can find that man. Let's see. You know, I didn't put that up there. Let's see. Maybe I have it on there. Let me see here. Let's see here. Give me a second. All right. Hmm. Well, I don't know where that video is. I had one, or not a video, but let's see. Oh, there it is. That's the one I wanted. Oh, here we go. Let me see. Let me type this in here. Let's see, ghosthuntingtheories.com/2015. Oops. Oops. Let's see if that'll pull it up. Let's see. Let me see if I, and I'm not recommending this site or anything like that. There's just something that I saw in here that I thought was interesting. And they had found a few other things. Let me see if I can find that. These are the giant skulls that they had found. Or not skulls, but giant, giant tools. They found some giant axes and hammers. Let's see. And also like a giant sword, which I thought was kind of interesting as well. Let's see. There's Joe Taylor's information. So you could see the ordinary guy. I go all the way up. That guy. All right, let's see if I can find that. There. This is the picture I want to show you. This is what a 60-pound hammer would look like for one of us. It would have a 9-foot-long handle. Now, they found some of this stuff in the Ormi Mines. These are some of the tools that they found in the Ormi Mines. And you can see how they're, like, humongous. Right? Which is unbelievable. So, let's see. Let me back out of that here. Oh, wait, how do I do that? Let's see. There we go. I wonder if there's another one. There was copper and water there were giants. Well, that's true, too. They don't show that one hammer that they had this big, huge sword. Also, that they had found a sword, which I thought was kind of interesting as well. But anyway, it doesn't really matter that much. But they had found this other sword that was there. Let's see if I find it here. There's like some creepy stuff. Some of these people are just creepy, but they have good resources, some of them. So they've found some different things. Let's see. A lot of these I've already went through. These are just, all these are just things that were found. 22-inch copper axe weighing 38 pounds was found in an Ohio mound in 1897. Did you see that? A 22-inch copper axe. Right? Think about that. Isn't that unbelievable? How about this? Indiana, 1925, 8 skeletons, 8 to 9 feet tall, wearing heavy copper armor. See if I have any other. 50 tiled coffins. Boy, that'd be weird. Stone coffins, which couldn't be lightweight, right? So anyway, huge flat cooking pans. Stone axe in a Minnesota mound. Hey, it's Minnesota. What? Are you kidding me? I need to find that. Huge flat cooking pan, stone axe head, 28 inches, 14 inches wide, 11 inches thick, 300 pounds. I have no idea what that is. But it sounds big. Look at Minnesota mound. 7 gigantic skeletons. We talked about that. Horses and bones of animals. We're going to talk about big animals and big insects. Big bugs, big animals, and big insects. Wow. An arrow that was 6.5 feet long was found in China, along with a 12 to 15 foot tall skull. See, so there's other things that people have found out there. Clubs and hammers over 300 pounds. I don't know. Don't ask me. 45 stone stack boxes wrapped in juniper bark and pine pitch. Stone roof covered in pitch. Now, of course, you say, Pastor, can you verify all these? No. But I can verify the ones I just showed you pictures of. So I'm assuming that all these other people back in 1854 had no reason to lie about it. You know what I mean? Club in Australia, club pounders, chisel knives weighing up to 25 pounds. I mean, it stands to reason, doesn't it, that if you're going to find giants, you're probably going to find some tools that went along with what they were doing, right? I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, it just makes sense. How about this? In Iowa, where those mummified 10 feet tall, sitting cross-legged. Remember, we talked about those stone slabs, massive archway, and capstone. Right? It's a little interesting, isn't it? Anyway, wow. What a lot of stuff to cover, right? What a lot of stuff to find. Big tools, and it all defies evolution. It all defies the teachings of evolution, right? How about that? Pretty impressive. Now, let's see what we have over here. Who's on here? Anybody have any questions at all about anything? As I'm looking over here at the thread here. Joe Goosens, hope you're doing well. All right. You want to see the double rows of teeth. Yeah, I hear you. So do I. Just not live. Let's see. All right. Anybody have any questions at all? Hey, Cody. Who's Cody? Is that supposed to be me? Or is there a guy named Cody on here? I have no idea. Let's see here. Let's play this forward. I don't know if I got your email or not. I think I did, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But we'll keep listening to this if anybody has any more questions. If not, I'll get out of here pretty soon. I got 5 more minutes, though, so I got a little bit of time. 9 more minutes to go here.
Yeah.
Let's see. Carl asked me if I would do one on a broadcast on dinosaurs, Loch Ness monsters, mermaids, unicorns, and all those other things. Well, maybe someday. I'm not sure. Maybe. If the Lord leads, I'll definitely do something like that. We'll see where this one goes here with the Giants. I'm not sure how much farther I'm going to go into it. I may do. I think it's important to do some like giant animals and giant bugs to scare all the women with giant bugs and all that good stuff. But yeah, so I'm going to do some of that because I think it's important. But yeah, it'll be kind of interesting to do that. That's for sure. Yeah, I look forward to doing a few more things, you know, different things like that are out there. Let's see. Before I go here, I'll just recap a few things for you. Check out if you're looking for expository preaching. You can go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. Or yesterday's sermon was put on YouTube right away, so that's on there. And I preached on the Bible verse, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So you can listen to that one. That's a brand new one that's on there. Or you can look up expository preaching in the book of Acts. Or we just started the Psalms too as well. I've preached four messages, I believe, or four or five messages on the Psalm, chapter 1, going through there verse by verse as well. And look forward to doing that in the book of Acts on Wednesday. I'll be back in there. And have another broadcast for you on Wednesday. And then Friday, there will be no broadcast this week because I'll be doing some research work. My wife and I will be taking off and doing some research work for some Baptist history stuff down in southern Minnesota. So you pray for us and keep up to date with us there. Keep your information available to us here by sending us an email and let us know that you're listening and all that. And if we can help you in any way, just let us know. Send us an email and all that good stuff. But we had a good time here today and going through a bunch of things. It's good to be back and back at it again. And we'll definitely do some more here as the Lord leads and the Lord allows us to do. And I hope it's a blessing to you. Some of you that can't catch us live, I know I can see a lot of you do catch us afterwards because the one from last week has like 1,800. The one or before I left has 1,800. Views on it, so somebody's listening to them, and they're all getting up there over. They end up getting up over 1,500. It looks like, so that's good that people are listening and all that good stuff. So we'll just keep plugging away at it, and even if only five people listen, I'll still keep doing it for the glory of God that other people can hear the truth and know that in this series, especially that evolution is a lie and that there are giants out there and there was advanced technology out there and things like that, and men were definitely bigger than they are now and in a lot of ways better, not spiritually, but physically, the way that God had made them, and the closer we get to the purity of the beginning of mankind, the better we see that man was, and then now we see as time goes on that man's health fades more, their years are less, and all those things. So anyway, I appreciate you all, and I hope you all have a good night and are blessed, and that the Lord would just meet your needs. And if you would pray for us, the Lord would continue to do that for us. We're very grateful for all that God does. And we'll just kind of close it out with a song here, I think. And let's see which one. Let me see which one. Maybe this one here. Maybe not that one. Let's see. Let me see if I have. How about Let's see.